I want to say again, we're glad to have Brother Mike down from Indiana. His family, I believe he's feeling better today. Feeling a little better, Mike? Feeling a little better today. And I really prayed for him last night. I pray for all of you that Satan will not blind your eyes, but that you'll be able to see. Having eyes you see not, having ears you hear not. Lest at any time you should see with your eyes and hear with your ears, convert, and God should heal you. How many of you are glad to be alive in our day? Would you like to have been alive in Paul's day? Which would you rather do, be alive and active in God in Paul's day or in this day? This day, by all means, this day. I'd rather be on the battlefield in this day than in Brother Branham's day, which was about 9 years ago, or 25 years ago. I'd rather be alive now than in that day, and rather be doing something now than in that day. Though I was privileged to be in the end of it and be working for God, even doing His ministry, but not in the early part. Many, many years ago, God had him on the scene, but he's gone. He's gone. They've looked for him, but they can't find him. They said, we're going to keep looking for Elijah. Elisha said, you can look all you want to. You're not going to find him. Oh, but we'll find him. Said, the Lord took him up somewhere, and he dropped him down on one of them hills out there. The Bible said they looked till they were ashamed. I think they've about got ashamed now. They've said that Brother Branham would be back and be back and be back till they're about ashamed now. They looked till they were ashamed, but he didn't come back, did he? He's not going to come back like that. God always changes his mask, as Brother Branham taught himself. As all the prophets down through the ages taught, God always changes his mask. He veils himself in a human form and he changes his mask from every age, one age to another, always. He made Moses God to the people, and he veiled himself in Moses. All right? Reading in Revelation 12. Now, we read a little in Revelation 11 the other day, and we'll probably review some of these thoughts and trying to teach and talk to you. I chose Sunday morning to try, if I could, to talk to you about the things of God, and to bring out some of the mysteries of God if He would let us. I noticed for the last Sunday morning or two, our people have not been very spiritual. Usually when they go on about a 2 or 3 day fast, after that they get spiritual. But I notice when they go on for days and days and days and they don't pray and seek God, they get to where they're not very spiritual. They're not very hungry. They're, in other words, what I'm saying is they are not very believing. You know, when you get spiritual, you can just mention something about the Holy Scriptures of God and something will jump up in you really believe, you know, in a supernatural, in a spiritual thing. But when you get carnal, you just think about church and the Word and the preacher and when we're going home and we're glad to be there and we're glad we're all Christians and we know we're going to heaven. Hallelujah, praise God, amen. But when you get spiritual, saints of old used to pray. Old Brush Arbor meetings, they used to fast, pray for those meetings. And they stayed before God. And when the saints of God come together, well, it didn't make no difference whether the preacher could preach or not. By the time they prayed the power of God down, he could do anything. By the time the Spirit of God got on that fellow, if he wasn't a preacher, it made a preacher out of him. That's right, I'm speaking of being able to deliver himself, you know. And they sought God, they were spiritual minded. And if there was anything in a person, well, they'd draw every bit of it out of him. That's right. I know that for truth. They'd pull it out of him, Brother Ben, if there's anything at all there. It didn't make no difference if the preacher come to church feeling bad. By the time they said, hallelujah, praise God, amen, come on, brother. Well, it wasn't but a little while, and the fire of God began to muse, and they began to feel something, and people began to get convicted and go to the altar. They prayed and they believed. They prayed till they had a something stirring within them that caused them to have a depth of believing. You know, you can believe and not have a depth of believing. a depth of believing goes back to being strong in faith. You can have faith, you know, and you just believe. You say, oh, I believe. God knows I believe. My neighbors know I believe. And some little something happens and your little boy, he sticks a splinter a little bit too far in his foot for you to get it out and you just have a fit. You got to go to the doctor. You got to do something. All you believe in goes down the drain. Isn't that right? Get about 3 months behind on your car and all your believing's gone. You just know they're going to take it away from you. That's true. That's true. See, you don't have any depth to your believing. Don't have any strength to your believing. But there's people that believe way down deep. They believe. They've dug down deep and they founded their house on a rock. And they're way down deep inside on the rock, Christ. And they believe and nothing can shake that house. Turmoils, troubles, perplexities, bewilderments. It don't matter what it is. It can't shake that house. It believes. It's a strong believing, a deep believing. Well, that's the way the people used to do. They used to pray until you could say like of Abraham of old, they were strong in faith. The Bible said that Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory to God. God said, Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. The Bible said he staggered not at the promises of God, nor at the deadness of Sarah's womb. He was just strong in faith, saying, hallelujah, glory to God. Hallelujah, going to have a son. Praise God. What are we going to name him? Can't you see that? Probably went over and said, Sarah, God gave a son. What are we going to name him? Sarah. Oh, somebody says, she didn't do that. Yes, she did. She turned around and mocked it, you know, and walked off. And the angel said, why did she do that? Sarah said, I didn't do that. I said, yes, you did. Why? Unbelief. Unbelief. Said, is anything too hard for God? Is there anything too hard for God? But Abraham, he just couldn't wait. He knew that he had a son, and he knew that God was going to give it, and God had promised it to him at the time of life, and he knew that it was coming, and he was just waiting. He couldn't hardly wait to see that son. Now that's faith. That's strong in faith, isn't it? Calling those things that are not as though they are. No hope. No natural way to do it, but strong in faith, saying, because the Word of God said it, I believe it. I believe it. How many believe that God was the Word in the beginning? How many of you believe that the Bible said that the Scriptures appeared unto Abraham? I said the Bible said the Scriptures spoke to Abraham and said, you're going to have a son. The Scriptures spoke to him, and he believed it. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, if God came to me like he did Abraham, and he spoke to me face to face like he did Abraham, I'd believe it. He spoke to you so many times face to face and you've never believed it. You say, how do you get that? The Bible said it's not you that speak, but your heavenly Father speaking from within you. It was the Scriptures that spoke to Abraham. Is that right? But you still don't believe it. To be strong in faith like Abraham was, giving glory to God. What a wonderful thought. What a wonderful thought. I want to read from Revelation 12. Now, I want you to listen real good and see if we can pick up a little something this morning. I get excited when you talk about faith because I put it to work so much in my life. I've had to live by it, and it's real to me. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, and she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God into his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. All right, now, you notice here, the Bible said there was war in heaven. A lot of people, you know, they think about war on earth, but they never stop to think about war in heaven. People have wars, but to think about war in heaven is something altogether different, isn't it? Isn't it? You ever wondered why that God is going to have to burn the earth? Has that ever entered into your mind? Why will God have to burn the earth? Why will God have to do away with the heavens? How many of you understand that the heavens and the earth must pass away? A lot of folks say, well, the Bible said heaven and earth may pass away. It doesn't say any such. It says that heaven and earth shall pass away. Is that right? There's no maybe about it. The Bible said that heaven and earth shall pass away, but not my word. Is that right? Not my word. My word will never pass away. The word was back yonder in the days of Noah. The word was in the days of Abraham. And the word was back there in the days even of Adam and the days of Enoch. But it's never passed away. Generations have passed away, and the old earth passed away with a flood. But God's word has never passed away. The Bible said heaven and earth shall pass away. I want you to notice this. First of all, when we speak of the days of Moses, or the days of the passing away of that beyond the flood, the first thing that we remember is that God said, I have shook the earth. Is that right? But once again, I shake heaven and earth. Is that right? I've shook the earth, he said. The Bible teaches that the mountain that Moses was on literally shook. All of the great things of the earth literally shook. When the waters overflowed, the earth shook and the heavens and the earth passed away. But never before has God ever purged the heavens. Never before has God ever cleansed the heavens. But this time he said that heaven will shake and heaven and earth will pass away. You say, where do you find that? You find that over in the book of Revelation, after that the millennium comes, then the Bible says that John looking said, I saw the heavens melt. I saw the earth pass away with fervent heat. All of it just melted away. The stars fell from heaven. All of the great comets, everything that's in heaven, all of the galaxies just literally melted down, run down just like butter. Everything passed away. The hills just literally melted down at the coming of the Ancient of Days. Now, so then he said, I'll shake heaven and earth. Why? Because Satan at one time was in the earth. Is that right? Back in the garden he was in the earth. But the Bible said, though thou climbest up to heaven, through the intelligence of mankind and using the understanding of man, just like you would a great ladder, he has actually climbed up into the heavens and gotten up into the heavenly places. And because of that, now heaven is defiled. And God has to destroy the heavens. Is that right? You say, well, if God destroys the heaven, where are we going to? The Bible said there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. The old heaven ain't good enough for us. Said there'll be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Is that right? Isn't that a wonderful thought? God is going to make a new heaven and a new earth, and nothing will have ever been there except righteousness. Nothing. And nothing but the redeemed of God will be able to enter into that atmosphere or into that dimension. Nothing. But Satan, by the use of mankind and the intelligence of man, working through the understanding of mankind, has gotten up into the heavens. You remember when God created the Tower of Babel, how the Lord spoke and he said, I'll have to confound them. I'll have to change their languages. I'll have to divide them. He said, if I don't, he said, there'll not be anything hid from them. Why? You say, how could the devil ever get into the spirit? Because he's a spirit to begin with. Is that right? But though he was excommunicated from God and made the ruler of the darkness, yet by transforming himself into an angel of light, or by working through people who are in the days of grace or under the dispensational power of God's blessings, he has worked himself back into a world of light. How many of you know that? He has worked himself all the way back into a world of light. In other words, though God excommunicated him, put him out of his sight, though he was wroth with Satan, yet the devil cunningly working through Eve and then making his way into Adam has cunningly and craftily worked his way right back into the presence of God. Somebody would say, how do you know that he's in the presence of God? Because in the days of Job, the Bible said that he came up before God. Is that right? I don't believe that Satan has ever got up to the third heaven. Someday I might discover that he has. If I do, I'll come and tell you. But I don't believe that Satan has ever entered into the third heaven. I don't believe that. I believe that he has got as far as the inner courts. I believe he worked his way up, Bill, till he got as far as the inner courts. I can find in the teachings of the New Testament something that makes me believe that he might have got that far. But I don't believe that he ever got any further. I know that through the Dark Age, the Roman Catholic power set up a dominion. And that seems to answer typically to the second, or what we call the inner courts. But when it comes to the holies of holies, I don't find where any priest ever entered into the holies of holies. I'd find a priesthood entered into the second realm. But I don't find any place where anybody ever entered into the holies of holies, except the high priest, once a year to atone for the sins. I don't believe the devil ever got up there, Ben. I believe that Jesus, the high priest, made it. I believe he rent the veil and walked into the holies of holies. But I don't believe the devil ever got in there. That gives me a wonderful feeling, don't it you? Hallelujah. I know, Job said, that my Redeemer liveth. I know that he's somewhere. The devil came up before him. And I believe that the closest he got to God was in the second heavens. And God spoke to him in the second heavens and said, where have you been? Where have you been? He said, I've been going to and fro in the earth. Just, you know, looking, seeking whom I can devour. I've been going to and fro. And God said, if you consider my servant Job. I believe that he was in the second heavens when he talked with God. But I don't believe he ever got into the third heaven, because I don't believe the devil and God can live in the same room. I don't believe God would stay in any heaven that the devil ever been in. If the devil had ever got into the third heaven, I believe God had tore the whole thing down and started all over again. You say, what makes you believe that? Because he's tearing the second one down, tearing the earth down, starting all over again. I don't believe that any person that calls himself a Christian can have light and darkness in the same temple. I don't believe that. I hear people say, well, Brother Pike, I just do this little thing and I do that little thing. I believe you do that little thing because you're of the devil. That's what I believe. Somebody said, well, I told a lie, but I didn't mean to tell a lie. I believe you told a lie because you're of the devil. The Bible said the devil was a liar from the beginning. He abode not in the truth. Somebody said, well, I just believe. I just kind of sidestepped a little bit. But I'm still a Christian and I love God. I believe you're of the devil. That's why you sidestep. I don't believe sons of God sidestep anything God tells them. So then, there is no light and darkness in the same room with God. Wherever God is, it's light, and darkness can't dwell there. And wherever God gives place to the devil, there's darkness there, and God won't mess with it. Is that right? One day there was darkness in my heart. You know why? Because my eye wasn't single. My eye wasn't single. But Jesus said if my eye had been single, my body would have been full of light. But I had darkness in there because my eye wasn't single. Is that right? Now you say, what do you mean your eye wasn't single? The eyes of my understanding. The eyes of my understanding wasn't single. I was double-minded. I was a little bit carnal and a little bit religious. But one day when God got a hold of my heart, He'd done away with all of my religious feelings, all of that more holier than thou. And He said, son, get up out of the hot pens and go take a bath. And that's what I did. That's what I did. I got up out of the hot pen, Willie, and I went and took a bath. And then when I took a bath, I felt clean all over. I felt clean all over. Ever since then, I've been believing. And my heart has been full of light. Why? That's the third heaven down, and that's where God's got His kingdom. God got it out. Is that right? There's a natural world, there's a physical world, and there's an angelic world. And the devil has gotten into the natural world, and the devil has gotten into the physical world. That's why the body has yet to be redeemed. But the devil has never got into the spirit that's on the inside of me. Never. Never. Somebody said, but I'm afraid he will. I'm not afraid he will. Somebody said, but that's what bothers me, Brother Pike. I'm afraid that the devil will get on the inside of me. I'm not afraid of that. I'm not afraid he's going to get on the inside of me. He can't get on the inside of me. You know why he can't get on the inside of me? Not because I'm better than somebody else. Not because I'm so strong I can keep him out. But the Bible said, before you can take a strong man's palace or that which belongs to a strong man, you got to be stronger than the strong man and be able to bind him. Is that right? Then, if you bind him, you can go in and take what he's got. Is that right? The devil can't get into your spirit when you're born again. How many believe that's true? I know that Satan can't get into my spirit. There's no way. You say, why are you so sure? Because the Bible said that I am sealed with the Holy Ghost. My spirit is sealed with the Holy Ghost. And as long as the Holy Ghost is in there, the devil can't get in. And brother, he's going to stay in there. Somebody say, but now what if he takes a notion to leave? He can't do it. He can't do it. Did you know that's why that a lot of people never receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost? They are believers. They are religious and they go to church. But they don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You know why? Because once you get the Holy Ghost, you can't lose the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, you can backslide and get away from God before you get the Holy Ghost. You can be a believer. Somebody said, how are you gonna do that? You can do that. You can come up and you can backslide. Because the Bible said you can be made partakers of the Holy Ghost. But you can have the presence of the Holy Ghost like the prophets of old did. You can even see visions like Balaam did. You can even prophesy like Saul did. A lot of times we have people here prophesying. Somebody says it's of the devil. A lot of times it's not of the devil. It's God. Because the Spirit of God is poured out upon the world. And the Spirit of God is present in the world today. If you was really spiritual, if my people were really spiritual people, They would be astounded at the things that they would understand and know and see around them. But I don't have spiritual people. I got people that love the Lord, and I'm trusting it to be spiritual. Somebody said, well, you couldn't be a Christian unless you're spiritual. Paul said, I would speak unto you as spirituals. But seeing that you're babes in Christ, them was Christians. Is that right? But they wasn't very spiritual. Now, the grace of God being poured out upon all flesh, the Spirit of God being poured out, you could come to God, and you could have a blessing from God, and you can be a believer in the Lord, but still not be a Christian. Not have the Holy Ghost. You follow me? Not have the Holy Ghost. Have you understand what I'm saying? The Bible said, be filled with the Spirit. Even if you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that doesn't mean you're full of the Spirit. A man can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost and still not be full of the Spirit. But if you've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he will never leave you. The Bible said, I'll never leave you. Is that right? When the Holy Ghost comes, he will never leave you. I don't care how sad you get. I don't care how much problem you've got. I don't care how much heartache you've got. The Holy Ghost will never leave you. Never leave you. He is a comforter sent from God. Many waters can't swallow you up. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, whether famine, whether pestilence, whether it's sickness, whether it's heartaches, whether it's Satan, whether it's powers, whether it's fallen angels. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. The love of God is the Holy Ghost within you. Somebody would say, how do you get that? Because the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Is that right? And the Spirit of Jesus Christ, God so loved the world that he gave the Spirit of Jesus Christ. That is the love of God made manifest on the inside of you. That is what God called charity. There is only one charity, and that is the sacrificial spirit of the Lord. Christ. Christ was the sacrificial loving one. He gave himself. He is the spirit of charity. And without that, you can have all the gifts, Paul said, and not be nothing in the sight of God. Balaam could see visions with his eyes open. He knew the mind of God. He could see those visions. He lived right there to where he could just open his eyes in the morning from sleep and see an open vision, just like a prophet. Is that right? But the Bible said that he loved the wages of unrighteousness. Balaam did not have the Holy Ghost. A lot of people wonder why David of old had so many wives. Why Solomon had so many wives? Because Solomon did not have the Holy Ghost. Neither did David have the Holy Ghost. That's why David committed murder. He didn't have the Holy Ghost. If David had the Holy Ghost and committed murder, that ain't possible. But if it had been possible, well, as I say, it ain't possible. But had it been possible and he'd committed murder, he'd got away from God, he'd never come back to God. There'd never been any hope for him. See, because you are sealed. You say, where do you get that, Brother Pike? Because the Bible said that if you ever taste of the Holy Ghost, if you ever made partakers of the Holy Ghost, not receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, but just made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and taste of the power of God and the word of the Lord that is to come, of the powers. He said, you can't come back once you fall away. If you ever get that far, you're eternally damned, you're eternally lost. You can't come back if you ever get that far along. If you ever get to the place to where your understanding is open, and you see the things of God, and you see how great heaven is, and what God has for the church, and then you turn around, you are eternally damned. There's no need to try to turn around and come back because you're gone. Somebody would say, where is that? There's only a fearful looking for of the judgments of God and a fiery indignation that shall devour the adversary after that you have once come to repentance and saw the heavenly things of God and turned around and rejected them. So then, I know that Satan has never gotten into the third heaven. I know that he hasn't, because I'm in the third heaven and he's not there. I can't find him. He's not there. He's nowhere around. Out here in the second heaven, I have a lot of trouble with him. But over here in this third heaven, he never gives me any problems. Why? I'm sealed with the Holy Ghost. My spirit on the inside is sealed with the Holy Ghost. And he can't get down in there. If he ever got down there, the temple would be defiled and God would destroy it. God could never dwell in it. That's why God is so contented just to let this old body continue on as it is, faltering and failing and stumbling and staggering around. Because he knows on the inside that he is living in the spirit of man. And on the inside, the seal of God is in there. And because man is sealed on the inside, that nothing can ever touch him. Nothing can ever harm him. Nothing. It's like a Japanese. You could beat him. You could kick him. You could kill him. You could brainwash him. You could tell him that he was a turnip. But when you got through, he'd still be a Japanese. He'd still be a Japanese. God spoke to me one time and really warmed my heart. I said, Lord, I don't understand. I said, sometimes the devil really comes against me. And I said, he makes me feel dirty all over. And I said, then I feel like I have to come back into your presence to get saved all over again. I said, what's the matter with me? I said, surely the plan of God's better than that. Surely there's something stronger than that. I said, that don't agree with the scriptures. And the Lord spoke to my heart. And he brought to my mind a German person. He said, son, no matter where you put a German, he'd always be a German. That's why he brought it to me. He said, you could put him in America in the midst of all the American people, but he'd still be a German. You could put him over in Japan. You could put him in Africa. You could put him anywhere you wanted to, but he'd still be a German. Is that right? You could take a sheep and set it out in the midst of a bunch of goats, but it'll still be a sheep. It'll still be a sheep. You can't change it. It might get dirty on the outside. It might get in some of this Georgia mud down here. It might get red and filthy. But it's still a sheep. It's got a sheep nature that's undefiled. It may be dirty on the outside to where you can't see the beautiful whiteness of the wool. But I'll tell you one thing. It's still a sheep. It's still a sheep. So then, on the inside, we're sheep. On the inside, we're hid away with God up in the third heavens. We are hid with Christ in the heavens whom the Spirit has taken away. My spirit at death left my body, went back to God who gave it, and today my spirit is in heaven. It's up there in heaven today. My spirit is in the third heaven, hid away in God, and nothing can ever touch it. Satan can't get in there where it's at. He can't defile it. It don't matter how much the storm beats on this little house outside. They used to sing that song, this old house can't stand much longer. I'm getting ready to leave this thing. It can beat on this little house on the outside all it wants to. It can beat until finally this tabernacle might just melt down and be dissolved. But Peter said, if it does, I've got another one eternal in the heavens not made with hands. I've got a body of Christ, a body of Jesus that's made in his likeness, is eternal out there in the spirit. You can't see it, but it's out there. It's out there. On the inside, I'm filled with the spirit. On the inside, I'm born again. On the inside, I got the Holy Ghost. And the devil can't touch me. He can't touch me. There's no way. I've seen him slang mud at me. I've seen every dirty, filthy, low-down evil, frustration, filthy, dirty thought, everything he's got. I've seen him throw it at me. But when he got through, I turned my eyes to heaven and I'd say, Jesus, and something say, whew. All the mud would get off the water. Didn't hurt the fountain a bit. Didn't hurt the fountain a bit. I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? All the mud get off the water. In the same little bubbling stream that's always been there, it has washed the mud on down the river. And then just so beautiful, you know, just dazzling the sunlight of his glory. Just sparkle. You ever been way up in the Carolinas over in the Cherokees? Way back in there where the Indians are, the water's clear as crystal. Look down at the rocks on the inside of it, and you can see the rocks all the way down in the sunlight. Just dancing, the little sunbeams just dancing on the water on a hot day. That's the way God does. When the springtime of his glory comes out, my soul begins to blossom. And the honeybees of heaven begin to buzz to take the honey home. Amen, that's right.
Why? Because Jesus lives down there. Jesus lives down there. So then the devil has never got into the third heaven. I find where there was war in heaven. What was the war? And where did the war take place? The war had to take place in the second dimension because Satan could not get up into the third dimension. There was no way. So it had to take place in the second dimension. Now, if you look at the days of Daniel, I brought this out before on a tape here somewhere, but if you look at the days of Daniel, you'll find out that there was a middle wall of partition, and when Daniel from the first heaven prayed to God, which was in the third heaven, that Satan in the second heaven intervened. Is that right? When Daniel, down here, you say, how was Daniel in the first heaven? Because the Jews had God with them. Any time that God with you, that's heaven. Did you know that today God is with the church? That's heaven. Oh, somebody said, Brother Pike, you carnal-minded thing, you would never know what I was talking about. You could never understand what I was talking about. Somebody said, I'm wanting one of them real heavens. The only real heaven to you is when you fill your belly. The Bible said you made your belly your God, and when you eat and have a good time in the world, everything goes right and this flesh feels good and nobody crosses you. That's the only heaven you'll ever know. You know why? Somebody said, well, that couldn't be heaven, Brother Pike, but it is. That's how the devil got into heaven. That's how the devil got into heaven. Did you know to be able to sit around and fill your belly, have everything you want, eat grapes and have money to spend? How many of you know that's heaven? A lot of folks are looking for heaven and they don't even know what heaven is. Somebody said, well, I don't see where that's heaven. Well, you go to hell and you'll find out that's heaven. I say, if you ever get in hell like the rich man did and look back across a great gulf, then you'll know that this was heaven up here. The old rich man had plenty of money, was getting along fine. Everything was well for him in this life because he was in heaven. Is that right? But when he died and went to hell, then he really found out he was in heaven. A lot of you, that's the only heaven you'll ever know, because the devil has climbed up into the second heaven and you've gotten into the second heaven. You have gotten into the second heaven. And because you're in the days of grace, you're in heaven. That banker that's out yonder, all them people that's out yonder in the world, they've gotten up into the second heaven. Everything's well with them. But one of these days, God will cast them out of heaven. The Bible said that the stars shall fall from heaven. Them people out there are wandering stars. They don't have the Holy Ghost. They're not filled with the Spirit. They're creatures of the carnal mind, which is darkness. And they're made to roam around in darkness because they love darkness better than they love light. And God's going to shake them out of the heavens. And the saints of God's going to rise up and take the kingdoms of this world. How do you know the kingdoms of this world is heaven? So then the Jews was in the first heaven, the outer courts. I want to elaborate just a few minutes on this morning. You're not very spiritual. I don't feel nothing from you spiritual. But anyway, I'm going to talk to you anyway about the Word of God. Maybe someday God will shake it and you'll get spiritual if I tell you the truth. So then, here is the outer courts. How beautiful. The outer courts, the first heaven, the Jews. There it is. How beautiful that is. But then, there is another court, which is the second court, which is called the holy place. Not the holies of holies, but the holy place. And in the holy place, there is the shewbread, the candlesticks, the offerings of the priests, the fellowship of the brotherhood in the second. But beyond that, there is no fellowship of the brotherhood. Beyond that is the third heaven, the holies of holies, where Jesus Christ himself goes in alone. There is no fellowship of the brotherhood. You don't say, hello, Brother Mason and Brother Woodman of the world, Brother Junior Chamber of Commerce. But you've got to be bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. You've got to be the body of Jesus Christ if you ever, enter into the third dimension, which is the third heaven, which is the holies of holies, which is the presence of the Holy Ghost. That's what it is. The presence of the Holy Ghost. Somebody say, well, praise God, I'm in that third heaven. Some of you have never even seen the third heaven. You don't even know what it's like. I've got numbers of you sitting out there today that's never even got acquainted with the Holy Ghost, let alone been baptized in it and received the gift of the Holy Ghost. I've got people out there that are good people as far as believers that has never received the gift of the Holy Ghost. You've never entered into the third heaven. Now, where are you at? You are in the second heaven, in the very same place that the Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal Church of God, Assemblies, and all the rest is in. That's where you're at. Now, money said, now, bless God, Brother Pike, you don't think the Assemblies of God is out there in the second heaven and you're in the third one? I sure do. My, what kind of fella are you? I'm one of them born-again fellas. You mean to tell me you believe the Baptist is out there in the second heaven and you over here in the third heaven? I sure do. I never read in the Bible where they ever had a Baptist church in heaven, nor Assembly of God in heaven, nor anything called the Church of God in heaven, unless it was the Church of the Firstborn. That don't mean the Mountain Assembly. So then, they didn't make it, did they? They didn't make it. Somebody say, but I believe they did. But that isn't what the Bible said, it's what you believe. See, that's what you believe, but that's not what the Bible said. The Bible says something altogether different. God's believing is altogether different from your belief. So then, they didn't make it. Now, there's a people that's neither Church of God, nor Assembly of God, nor UPC, nor any other. They don't carry any other name that they live, that they're dead. But they are Holy Ghost-filled believers. They're born again children of God. And they are intermingled with all of the facilities of the world. Baptist, Methodist, UPC, Church of God, everything. But one day they're going to shed off that old Church of God system. They're going to shed off that old Assembly of God system. They're going to shed off that old UPC system. They're going to shut off that old Catholic system, that old Presbyterian system, that old Methodist system, and they're going to come out of the shell, and they're going to leave all of them people back there by themselves. And they're going to say, well, Sister so-and-so, I thought you was one of us, but you've denied the faith. Said you've denied the faith. You know, you leave the Baptist church, they say, Brother Pike, you've denied the faith. I couldn't deny the faith because I didn't have no faith to start with. They never give me nothing to deny. You don't have the faith of God until you get born again. The only faith they've got is the faith of their fathers. I've got the faith of my fathers, the apostolic fathers, back at Pentecost. They've got the faith that if they can swindle somebody, that they'll make a dollar. I got the faith that if I live holy, I'll go to heaven. Somebody say, well, how can you go to heaven when you're already in heaven? Because we're waiting for the redemption of the body and the creature itself. That's something that can be to heaven, already be in heaven, yet I'm going to heaven. Isn't that wonderful? Who could do that but God? That's wonderful, isn't it? So then, it is a wonderful thing. There was war in heaven. And the Bible said that Michael fought and his angels fought. But the devil couldn't prevail against the power of Michael. When the angels came down, old Daniel began to ring the prayer bells of heaven. And God began to answer. And the devil, he intervened. But Michael, he come down and he stopped him. You know what the angel said to Daniel? He come over and talked to Daniel. When he talked to Daniel, he said, I've got to go back, Daniel. He said, I've got to fight against the prince of Persia. Is that right? Said, the prince of Persia, he's coming in over yonder, and I got to fight with him. I got to stop him. Is that right? How remember when the Medes and the Persians came in? God considers men in this world prince. They're great prince, great authorities, great powers. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, Men ain't nothing. God could just blow on them. They just pass away. I know that. I understand that. God said, we're just dust, and he pities us like a man would pity his children or a mother. But the one thing that God has to beware of, and that is the power and the influence of a human being over souls and over human spirits. They can cause the Almighty God a lot of trouble. They can become powerful in the earth. Why? Not because they have any power against God, but just like Satan, he's gotten into so many people, and then the tares are intermingled with the wheat. And if you pull up the tare, you get the wheat. And God has to be careful the way he approaches the situation. The Bible said the sower went forth and sowed the wheat. All the seed was sown. And then after that, here come the devil, and he sowed it. You say, how do you know the devil sowed the tares? Because the Bible said, an enemy hath done this. When Jesus gave the parables, he rose up to see about the wheat that he'd sown in the earth. And he looked and he said, here's a bunch of tares. He said, the devil did this. He said, my enemy did this. He's upset with me. He did this. He caught us while we were over yonder and come sow tares among the wheat. Is that right? Now they said, well, Lord, we'll just go get them up. He said, no, you can't do that. He said, don't do that. All of them are too religious. They look alike. Some of them's reflected. You couldn't tell the difference. He said, just leave them alone. He said, there'll come a harvest. They said, what is the harvest? He said, the end of the world. He said, and then I'll send my angels and I'll cut the tares down and I'll cut the wheat. He said, then we'll have a separation. We'll take inventory then. And then we'll bundle them up and we'll throw all of the tares into the woodsmen of the world, into the masons, into the junior chamber of commerce. Throw them all in with the bankers. Somebody said, I don't like to hear you talk like that. I know, because you're part of the tares. You go in the bundle. That's why you don't like it. There's something in you that retaliates because you belong to the bundle. You belong to the tares. You belong to them that's going to be bundled up in that little junior chamber of commerce clique. Them that belongs to the masons. Them that belongs to the little deals that they got in the world out here. Women and men alike, little society clubs. You belong to them. You believe in them. You support them. But one day God is going to take all of those bundles. He's bundling them first. The Bible said we'll get the tares first. He's getting all of them together first. He's going to have a Baptist bundle and a church called the Church of God bundle. And he's going to have a church called the Assembly of God bundle. A church called the UPC bundle. He's going to bundle them all up. When he gets them all bundled up, then all together at one time, he's going to throw them into the fire. All of them will go into the fire. That means that some of you will go into the fire. Some of you that I preached to for a number of years will go into the fire because your spirits are not in the third heaven. You've only got up into the second heaven. You've only got religious. You've only come to hear the word. You've only come to hear God speak. You've been in his presence. But God from the third heaven, just like through the minister, speaks to Satan and says, where have you been? Where have you been? Where have you been? That's why God builds a church like he does. He puts a pulpit up here and puts the people on a lower level. That's why he does that. To let them know that God is speaking to them from heaven. And they're in the second dimension and they're in the second realms. That's why Jesus had to suffer like he did. Because he had to hang between heaven and earth. He had to be in the second dimension. That's where the devil was. That's where the fight was. And the angel said to Daniel, I go to fight with the prince of Persia. In other words, the Medes and the Persians are coming in. They're going to take the people into captivity. That means, Daniel, that there's a devil, there's a demon, there's a spirit. There's a great spiritual warrior somewhere that's on the inside of those human bodies. And it's driving them like an army when John saw them. Driving them. And I go to fight with him. While you're fighting with the natural down here, I'll be fighting with the spiritual up there. I'll be fighting with him, stand hand in hand with you. Somebody say, all the angels could just say, that be it. No, they couldn't. No, they couldn't. You take two men, one just as strong as another, you go out there and just try to push him over, and he'll push back. You go out there, little angel, go out there and start pushing another angel, he pushes back. Angels have power. And there was a fight. The Bible said there was war in heaven. Michael fought against Lucifer and his angels. Is that right? Said he'd stand for his people in the latter times. Stand for his people in the last day. You don't know what I'm saying. You couldn't understand. No way. But nevertheless, there was a war in heaven. And things took place. And while these great things took place in heaven, the people was down there. Like the vision I saw when I said, you see them things in heaven? They didn't see them. They were looking at me. That's all they could see. But I was looking at heaven. I'm still looking at heaven. Jesus said to see the things my Father does. In the Spirit, I see what God's doing. I see His plans. I see His purpose. I see what He's doing. So then in the second heaven, there was a war. And Lucifer was cast out. Satan was cast out. And the Bible said his angels went out with him. That means that the stars of heaven shall fall. The stars of heaven. When the moon turns to blood, there's a good picture of Satan personifying himself. That means a spirit comes into a human blood body. And then the stars from heaven literally fall. They fall out of their socket. Today, in my very congregation, I've got some fallen stars out there. I've got some of you that's already fallen. You've already fallen from your steadfastness in God. You one time had a light in God. One time you was a great reflector and looked like a great Christian. But you fail. You know you fail. In your mind, you're full of evil, full of debauchery, full of all kind of evil thoughts, all kind of cunning schemes. You're not on the level with your fellow man when you meet him. The Bible said the wicked barn won't pay back. When you deal with the world, I tell you, you don't pay them back what you owe them. You've fallen from your steadfastness in God. You know what a light is? A star? Somebody with the Holy Ghost. God. A burning fire on the inside. That'll try to pay their debts. That'll try to be honest. Try to be upright. Try to live right. Love the brethren. Walk along together. And everybody sees it and they say, that's a light. It's a woman that'll put on a decent dress that's not something that looks like she's melted and poured into it. That'll be a light. Somebody said, but I wear them kind of dresses. I know Jesus said wolves in sheep clothing. You hide in them. So that old dirty, evil, devilish spirit of yours can tear down the good women and lead astray the true sheep by your long tongue of gossip, by your backbiting. Try to probe at the others to dim the light of the true stars. Women not true to their husbands. Not really true. Don't have any real love and respect. Devilish, deceitful, cunning, smart. You have to love them anyway. Go on and love them. Just like Jesus said about the Jews, go on and do what they tell you. But don't do what they do. But Satan never got into the third heaven, did he? There was no way that he could get up into the third heaven. Why? Because God has sealed the inner spirit with the Holy Ghost, and the devil can't get near it. He can't touch it. There's no way. This body, it's attuned, and the soul has been entombed. But God took the life back to him at the death of the body. When we died with Jesus and was planted in his likeness in the watery grave. Today, we are hid with Christ in God. That which the heavens have received until the time of the restoring of all things. Hallelujah. I want you to stand with me. I had some things I wanted to say this morning. Some deep things that I'd like to get into. But I hadn't found the atmosphere for it for days now. It's been a number of days I've come to preach. And I don't find the atmosphere. Once in a great while, I find a spiritual atmosphere. When it does, a light turns on. But I don't find it this morning. What happened to the Jews? They once was a great burning light. And God would come in the midst of them. But after a while, they got carnal, careless, satisfied. And when it did, their light went out. And Jesus went somewhere else. The reason their light went out is because he went somewhere else. Don't ever let God do that to you. Whatever you do, don't never let him do it. They can start back on the piano, the organ, and you're so fleshly, immediately you get so spiritual, so sacred, so sacrimonious, you know. You know what that is? That's the same way the Baptists do. They can start playing that organ, and the Baptists will walk right in with their robe choirs, right in just as reverent there, just as religious as they can be. Cain comes in that way. Why? Because when that soothing thing that works on your flesh starts falling, that just makes you feel just right. But that don't prove you got nothing. Not a thing. You don't prove you got nothing. But brother, when you feel just right in here and there's something that makes you feel good, something running up and down the avenues of your soul and something's turning over like a little wheel, and the joy of the Lord's bubbling when there's no music. Like the other night, alone in the midnight hour, when the Holy Ghost come in, I could just feel Him going, shh, shh. I could feel Him like that as He hovered over me. Like that. Just like a dove come down and flutter over you. He's standing there over you like that. You say, oh Lord, what is it? What is it? And just flutters heavenly wings over you like that. Don't need no music. In the early church, you didn't have none. Don't need no music. Don't need nothing but Jesus. I thank God for the music. I thank God for the talents. We need them just like we need preachers. But what we need to get is the Holy Ghost. For the last two or three sermons that I've ministered here, I've went back to the Holy Ghost. Somehow I've been drawn back to the Holy Ghost. Get filled with the Holy Ghost. I tell you again in the name of the Lord, and I know there's preachers that preach different, and if you want to believe them, that's your privilege. Everybody's got a privilege to believe the preacher they want to believe. And that way they'll stand in the judgment and he'll give an account to God for them. If you'd have been under Brother Branham's day, he would have given account for you. He can't do it now, but he would have then. Somebody said, well, he can now. Well, if that's true, Paul will have to give an account for you too. Elijah will too. All the others will too. But you choose your minister, because he'll have to give an account for you as those that watch for the soul. But some of you, I say it again, you are a believer. And I know that you believe. And I know preachers preach different from what I'm fixing to say. And I know you're going to believe them because that's your minister. But a person that don't have the Holy Ghost is not a Christian. They are not a Christian. When I say Christian, I mean born again. You can act like Christ. The word Christian means to be Christ-like. And be called a Christian. But I mean being born of the Spirit of Christ. A real God-born Christian. A person that don't have the Holy Ghost is not a Christian. They have not been born again. Because nobody ever at any time ever heard of a baby coming into this world and living without a spirit. If you've ever at any time ever heard of a baby coming into this world, being born in this world and living without a spirit, I'd like to see that baby. And I'd love to meet the doctor that has a record of that. I'd love to talk with him. There has never been a child ever come into the world that could live without a spirit. They're carried in the womb, nourished by the mother. And the heart can function. And everything's alive. It can do that. But when that child is born, it's got to have a spirit of its own. It's got to have a life of its own. It can't depend on mother anymore. She can nurse the baby. She can work with it till it gets strength and strengthen the life that's in it. But there's got to be life from somewhere. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you are not in the other world. You've never crossed over into the other world. You've never come into the third heaven. You are a believer, yes. You're in the second heaven, yes. You're out there where the devil is, yes. For the Bible said the devil walketh among you. How many believe you're in the second heaven? How many believe you're in the third heaven? Don't look like I got many in either heaven. I know some of you are afraid to raise your hand. You're afraid that you might misunderstand what I'm saying. But I'm speaking of your body. You're in the second heaven. You're out there in the second heaven. You're in the second heaven. You say, how do you know, Brother Pike? Because the Bible said that Satan walked in the midst of the stones of fire. And the Bible said that going up and down through the earth, he walked among the people. And the scriptures teaches that the devil is among you. Is that right? Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for the devil is among you. Now, when it says that in Revelation, it's speaking of the devil becoming a man, personification. Oh, somebody could say, I could never be. It has been all down through the years. The devil's always been a man. How many of you know that? God's always been a man. The battle has always been between men. Always. God is a spirit that incorporates himself in a human body and makes himself flesh. The Word, the beginning spirit made flesh. The Word. How do you believe that's true? God the flesh. Satan, always. You say, well, if the devil's always been here in a human body, what's he coming down to get in one for? If God's always been in a human body, why is he coming down to get in one? Because he's always been here in part. God gives the spirit to you by measure. And you get a revelation from God. You get an experience from God. Satan, his people has had him by measure. But one day he's going to head the thing up and personify himself in a human temple. God's going to do the same thing. You say he's already done it. He's got a body called Jesus Christ. It's hid away in the heavenlies. It'll be here at the right time. It'll be a man. You need to look for nothing else. It'll be a man. Somebody said, but I'm looking for something else. It'll be a man made like unto your brethren in all things. Revelation 19, he'll come back sitting on a white horse. And he'll have thousands of bones of his bone and flesh of his flesh following him. But I want you to see this. You're in the second heaven. You're having trouble. That's in your body. But if you've been born again, if you've truly been born again, if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you inwardly are in the third heaven. Nothing can never change you. Nothing can never bother you. Nothing can never hurt you. But if you are just a believer, you've climbed up into the second heaven. And our feast of charity, the Bible said, spots and blemishes among us. Having eyes full of adultery that can't cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. Promising them liberty while they themselves are the servants of corruption. Here, you've climbed up to the wedding supper, but you come in without a garment, a wedding garment. The wedding garment is the body of Jesus Christ, the righteousness of the saints, the Holy Ghost. You're not clothed with his garment. But you did get up into the second heaven. You did get in, but not by the door. You didn't come through the Word. Had you come through the Word, it would have been a different experience. But you climbed up. You got in. You heard the invitation. But the Bible said, you'll be bound. Demons will bind you hand and feet. That's why the church is running around in miniskirts, slacks, running around. Some of them, all kind of things wrong with them. Every disease, everything. They're bound hand and feet because they come into them heavenly places without that wedding garment. They come in, now they're bound. Some of them don't even know they're bound. Lust devils, haughty devils, resentful devils, contrary devils. Mary had seven devils. And the Bible said when they get a hold of you, eight of them comes in. The man called Legion had a whole legion of them. Devils. Some of you are already bound hand and feet. You're just a bunch of religious proselytes. But some of you came in through the Word and listened and believed. And was translated through the Word. And you came into the third heaven. And you'll never be hurt. Never again. You'll never be lost. You'll never die. You'll never pass away. But you that are just believers. Now if you are a believer, you've made a good start. You've made a good start. I tell you, you're going to go to hell, you believe it. I say, Satan, you're going to be cast into the lake, he believes it. The Bible said if you believe, the devil believes too. He's a believer. But you've come a long ways, you're a believer. But that don't mean you're a Christian. unless you are one of the foreordained. If you're one of the foreordained, then being a believer, you'll never stop till you get the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost will be the seal of your election by grace. Then when you receive the seal of election by grace, you'll be in the third heaven. There is no proof while you stand there as a believer. There is no proof that you are one of the elect. No, there is no proof that you're not one of the elect. You're just believers. All of you stand there together. You're believers. Esau believed and cried, but he didn't get into the third heaven. Jacob believed and found the stairway. So then you stand there as believers. And I want you to absorb this now. You stand there as believers. I can't say, unless I have the discernment of the Spirit, I can't say whether you are one of the elect or not. I know that all of you believers. But there's one thing about it. When you receive the Holy Ghost, the Bible said then you've made your calling and election sure. Grieve not the Holy Spirit whereby thou art sealed unto the day of the redemption of the body, the purchased possession. Once you get the Holy Ghost, you got the seal, and you know then that you're going to have a redemption of the body. Is that right? Because that's the seal to it. But as long as you're a believer, that don't mean you're a Christian. Now you might be one. You might be one of the elect, but it don't mean you're a Christian because you're a believer. The thing to do is make your calling and election sure. Get filled with the Holy Ghost. Get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Get the gift of the Holy Ghost. And once you get the gift of the Holy Ghost, He will never leave you. Never, 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 never leave you. He will never forsake you. Never. A lot of preachers preaching. They don't have the Holy Ghost. They can out-preach me 10 times, but they don't have the Holy Ghost. They've never been filled with the Holy Ghost. But they can preach. You love the Lord, and there was war in heaven, and the fallen stars, some of them fallen stars was believers. How many believe that? Some of them fallen stars was believers. Satan was one of the believers. He believed, but he had to fall. Some of them were believers. Daniel said in the last day, some shall fall to purge them. Is that right? You love the Lord. You're in the days of grace. That means that's a heaven. I wish we had just lots of time and had spiritual people to go into it. But we don't. Let's sing a little chorus together and I'll let you go. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. I'll sing about His love. I'll sing about His love. I'll give all the glory to Jesus. Sing of His wonder. For love, let me say this to you. Some of you that want to do some work for God, now I got a number of you here that want to do it. I'm going to tell you something that'll help you. And if you don't do it, you'll never do nothing for God. As long as you've got it in your mind to have yourself a ministry, all you need to do is to get born again. That's all you need to do. As long as you got it in your mind to rise up and be some great evangelist that people are going to notice, all you need to do is get born again. That's all you need to do. If you're planning to draw everybody's attention to you wherever you go so that you can be a spotlight, all you need to do is get born again. That's all you need to do. Because you've never been born again. You're in the carnal mind. But the day that you get it in your heart that you want to please God more than anything else in this world, that you love Him with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, with all that's within you. And you have one desire, and that is to please Him and to tell people how to escape hell and to turn hearts and souls toward the Christ in great admiration and great love. And that's all that you want to do, is just see the multitudes turn to Him and praise Him and love Him and extol Him. For the Bible said, in that day He alone shall be exalted. When you feel that way, you're beginning to get into the place to where God can use you. God doesn't need any super dupers to draw everybody's attention to Him, to show themselves out, to make themselves something, to get everybody's attention on them as an individual. God doesn't need anybody like that. Nobody. Somebody said, well, why is it then that God draws people's attention to men like Moses? Because God had Moses' attention. All Moses could see was Jesus. And God wanted them people to see Him. And so He veiled Himself in Moses, and they looked at Him through Moses. Moses wasn't interested in the things of this world. That's why God didn't take him over into a natural Canaan land to fill his belly up. Moses done gotten that spiritual world up there. He was wanting to go home with God. He was hungry for heavenly things. God wasn't going to just literally crucify Moses by putting him over there in some land where he could eat a bunch of grapes. He took him on to be with him. He took him into the real Canaan. That was just a type of it that they went into, but he went into the real Canaan. So then, if you have any other plans, any other desires, any other ambitions, then you are foolish. You're a troublemaker. You cause division among brethren because you try to get brethren to listen at you, to follow you. I got men here that's went off and turned others' support toward their ministry and caused them to bypass this ministry, whereas they supported for years. They did it cunningly, craftily. More than one, I got a number of them that did it. But the day that you get away from your childish doings, your foolishness, grow up into manhood, and realize that Jesus is everything, and people need to know about Jesus, and you need to tell them that you don't have to have a fine automobile, you don't have to have a big tent, you don't have to have some super duper gift in your life. Balaam had that, but that didn't do the job. But you can take an old car like Betty and I did years ago and many other evangelists, hit the field with your Maypop tires and go out by faith and do something for Jesus abroad. Paul said, are you not yet carnal? I would that you were spiritual, but are you not yet carnal? Now, as a child, I acted like a child. It showed it was carnal. When I become a man, I begin to think about Jesus. Let's sing that again. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about His love. We'll sing about His love. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing of His wonderful love. Folks would say, well, Brother Pike, if what you say is true, then why do people make a fuss over men like Moses and men like Elijah? Why did they fall down at the feet of Elisha when he got the mantle? Why did they call him Lord? Some old hypocrites, I've been trying to tell these people that we're going to give all the glory to Jesus. We want to get that man out of the way. You devil. I said, you devil. You're trying to get Christ out of the way so you can give all the glory to your own brutal intelligence. The Bible said, with cruel, wicked hands, you've crucified the Lord of glory. You did it to one of these. You did it unto Him. Every prophet, every wise man, ever since you stoned Him. But whereas you do good and say good and lift up the body of Christ, you've done it unto Him. You feed the hungry, the poor, the widow, submit yourself one to another. You did it unto him. You love the Lord. That's why God magnifies him. Let another say it of you, that he might bring forth Christ. Can we sing it again? And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about his love. We'll sing about his love.